Hey, everybody, how's it going? This is Hank Bird, and it's another episode of the Big Blurred Cast with me, your host, Hank Bird. Yes, I know I've been gone a while. I've been gone a long while. Hey, life happens. You know, I have gone into another position in my day life. I was teaching for a while, and now I am back. Summer break. And I'm back with a new episode. So I thank you guys for sticking with us. You know, Big Blurred Cast, of course, is available on all podcasting platforms right now. So we are out here in these streets, and we are everywhere where podcasts are available. So, man, under the next, I guess, the next couple days, I'm going to be going over a lot of stuff. Looks like a lot of things have been going on in the world, and I know I can't cover them all in one episode, but I'm going to try to get as much in as I can over the next however long I'm going to be on here with you guys. So, just a couple things. Updates, as far as I'm concerned, as far as my web series Blurred, we are deep into pre-production on episode 3. We had a great and successful live Facebook Live event where we streamed the first two episodes, the pilot episode and episode 2. We got around, I think, over 5,000 views, and did very well. It did very well. We got some very generous donations from people, which we dedicated a portion of that to our dear friend and brother, Lavelle Velivel Harris, who we lost, unfortunately, on April 17th. Our good brother, he was a comedian and a friend, somebody who was very supportive of me, my whole career as a filmmaker. When I put out my directorial debut short, he hosted it for me. He was the host. He's probably been in every project since then, or involved in every project since then that I was in, and was always supportive. We would have talks about doing things together, and fortunately we never got a chance to do a lot of things that we wanted to do together, but we honored our brother. He was a stand-up comedian, and he also was an advocate for children who were victims of child sexual abuse, you know, neglect, etc., through his Save Our Youth Foundation. He was a champion for children. He was a champion in our community. And, he was just a great person, made people laugh every day, and worked on the behalf of children, and he'll be missed. So again, I'd be remiss if I didn't take this opportunity to talk about, our dear friend Veli, and his last role, acting role, was in our episode 2. He played Woody the Barber. And he had a really good part in that episode. It was a really good role for him. And unfortunately, that was his last acting role. And it was a good one. And we love you, Vel, and we miss you, man. And you know, prayers and thoughts to your family who you left behind, and grandchildren who loved you dearly. But on to the show. So movie news. So, Sparkle Boy, Robert Pattinson. I guess he's supposed to be playing the new Batman in the Batman movie. That's the name of the movie, the Batman. And he said, and I don't, you know, I'm paraphrasing his quote, but basically he's saying he ain't working out. You know, I know, you know, the other guys beefed up and bulked up for the role. I ain't doing that. I ain't working out. Not doing none of that. I'm going to make the role my own, and I'm going to do my own thing. Okay. I respect that. Everybody that wore the cowl, if you will, in the role of Batman hadn't always been physically a specimen. Okay. We'll go back to Tim Burton's Batman, where Michael Keaton took the role. Michael Keaton is not a tall man, nor was he buff or in any type of shape to play Bruce Wayne or Batman. Matter of fact, when they cast Keaton in the role, they received a lot of hate mail when he got the role to begin with. I don't think it was really because he wasn't physically embodying the role. It was the fact that, you know, if you look at Michael Keaton's early career, Michael Keaton was always known as a comedic actor. And so people just didn't see him playing the role. So we got that. But as history would tell us, he got the role. He made it his own. Jack Nicholson bodied the role of Joker, and it did well. He did well. Actually, Keaton did a very good job as Bruce Wayne and Batman, going on to make that film the success that it was. So I kind of get what Pattinson is saying, but then a bar has been set. Robert, you know, Bale, who is the quintessential method actor, you know, trained for the role. He got in physical shape for the role. And then there was Ben, somebody who nobody could see in the role, nobody thought was going to do any justice to the role. But the boy got on the Snyder plan, which, you know, if you're a Zack Snyder fan, if you're going to be in a Zack Snyder action film, you're going to get on the Zack Snyder workout plan. You just hang that up. You're going to have an 8-pack and you're going to be buff as shit before you hit the screen if you're on Zack Snyder's workout plan. See, you look at Henry Cavill before he took the Superman role. Henry Cavill was, you know, he was in relatively good shape, but damn. My man got him bulked up and beefed up to Superman out the comic book standard. And so was Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck embodied the physicality of the Batman role. Like, I mean, he was right out the comic book, man. The dude was, he's 6 foot plus, solid muscle. The workout scene, Bruce Wayne training, and this is not young Bruce Wayne. This is the thing that was so great about Batman versus Superman. A lot of people didn't like the movie, and I get it, but the workout scene, I mean, it just shows the physicality of the character, and we had never seen that in the role. If you peel back Batman, not only is he a world-class detective and a mental giant, and an expert in tactics and warfare and hand-to-hand combat, having mastered several martial arts, he's also almost an Olympic class athlete. Okay, this is Batman, just the surface of Batman, intellectually just almost genius level tactician, a war fighter mentality, hand-to-hand combat, all that in one body. What you mean you ain't gonna work out? What you mean you're not going to try to physically embody what we know Batman to be? You can't be emo, skinny bat dude. That's not gonna work, bruh. You're gonna need to get in the gym. I don't want the Batman to look like he took a couple of Taekwondo classes at the Y. I want the Batman that we have become accustomed to seeing. The Batman that looks like he physically could beat you half to death. And though people are like, oh, well, it's Batman year one. Yeah, okay, I get that. But Batman still trained. He still went and studied under master martial artists. And that does something to your body. That transforms your body. So I don't know, Robert. I'm just not feeling your attitude on that, sir. So yeah, we're not feeling that. We're gonna need you to work out, my man. David Ayer our good friend David Ayer. David Ayer says that I have a cut. Since we're talking about cuts today, he says I have a cut of Suicide Squad you guys haven't seen yet. And we knew this already. I mean, I saw in interviews that he said that he had a more Joker-friendly cut of the film, where there was more Joker in the film. Jared Leto said that, who played Joker, said that he was disappointed in the cut that WB put out and Warner Brothers put out, because he said that there was a cut that had more of him in the film. And that was one of my problems with Suicide Squad, was that we didn't have a lot of Joker, and this was a new, albeit stranger, if you want to say that, version of Joker that we were used to seeing, you know, with tattoos and the grill and all. That was different. I give it to him. That was a different version of Joker. And, you know, unlike Pattinson's alleged version of Batman, you know, Jared committed. I give it to you. If you're gonna do some new shit, commit to it. That's all I ask. If you're gonna do something new with the character, commit to that shit. He committed. You know what I'm saying? Joaquin Phoenix, when he took the role of Joker, he committed. I mean, he fully committed till he got his Oscar. Understand? And deservedly so. So while Leto wasn't going to win any Oscars for his role, he did commit. He committed in a way that was different than the other Jokers. And I would like to see more of that, what they had in store for that. I really feel that Suicide Squad had a great cast. The movie was actually pretty well put together. But like a lot of superhero films, I think the villain was trash. It was a little muddy and muddled. And I think that made the film suffer a little bit. I love the chemistry with Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn and Deadshot with Will Smith. All the other characters. I enjoyed all of that. I enjoyed their banter back and forth. I enjoyed the way they put the film together. I enjoyed the action sequences. I think it's a good film. And if Ayer says he has more of that, then I want to see it. I'm afraid, though, that we're going to be running into people coming out of the woodwork saying, oh, I got a cut of my movie. And some movies we just don't really give a damn. I don't want to see a cut of everything. But Suicide Squad, especially at this moment, this point with the DCEU, why not? Hell, why not? Y'all ain't got nothing else to lose. You know what I'm saying? You're getting ready to launch HBO Max. You're going to want to get people involved. And for people who don't know, HBO Max is going to be an extension of HBO, and Time Warner owns HBO, which means Warner Brother is going to be Warner Brother heavy. It's going to have a lot of Warner Brother content, where the Snyder Cut and other films from DC and other places are going to be available on this platform. And I think that would be a great addition to have DCEU cuts of movies that they have out. I wouldn't see the problem in that. Yeah, nothing else to lose. Why not? Put it out there. I think that'll be a great thing, you know, for streaming and everything else. Speaking of streaming, I know we've been having debates back and forth about streaming versus the movie theaters. And this is a conversation, if you're in my circle of friends or if you're a member of my Facebook group, The New Nerd Order. And if you guys haven't joined, please do. Again, The New Nerd Order. We are a large group that I started a few years ago on Facebook, where we bring nerds of all cultures and, you know, all ethnicities, social and economic backgrounds, sexual preferences, whatever. You're welcome with us. And we talk about everything nerdy. And we have talked about this thing for a few years now. And me being a filmmaker, this is something that I've researched and studied and looked at for a long time. And this, what's going on now, is what's bound to happen, guys. This isn't anything new. People are really afraid for the theater industry. Why you shouldn't be, in some areas you could be, and I can understand that. So what's happening now is a lot of our studios have a lot of projects that are on the shelf right now. Due to COVID-19, a lot of projects are sitting around. A lot of your lower budget, mid budget, and family films are probably going to be released in streaming, because there's no reason whatsoever for these films to sit on a shelf for the next 2 years and not make any kind of revenue. There's no point in that. And so a lot of these studios are putting out their content. They have the right to do that. And where the theaters are having a problem with that, they're like, well, you guys know that we're down and we're not open, and those films aren't coming through us, thereby making us money at the same time. It's a business thing. It's a business thing. It's not personal, and I don't think it's designed to end the theater experience. And that's not going anywhere, guys. And that's the thing I've been saying, and that's the thing I'll continue to say. The theater experience is not going anywhere. People still want to get up and sit in the seat, eat the popcorn, eat the overpriced food, and enjoy that theater experience. They want to see the film on the big screen. You also, though, have a tribe of people out there who don't really care for that experience, or they could go either way. They're like, eh, I could go to the theater and I could watch whatever's out there, or I can rent it at the house. Hey man, the theater experience isn't cheap, guys. I say, if you go on a, say you're on a date with just you and another person, just your ticket prices alone, you're looking at about $30. Then if you want to add some food onto that, you're looking at another $25, maybe $30 or more dollars, depending on how you or your date eats. And so now you're looking at an experience that's probably $60-$70. I can rent a first run feature for what, $15-$20, the cost of a ticket price. Sit in my own house, drink some wine, some beer, smoke something if I want, eat what I want in my drawers with the family, whatever. And some people opt to do that and have been doing that. Trolls World Tour, the family film, came out. Universal was like, look, we're not going to shelf this any longer. We're going to go ahead and put it out streaming. Step out and see what happens. So they put it out. The movie made a killing, made more than the first one made in its theater run. It's a family film, y'all. It's business. Think about that. If you have kids and you got a wife and kid and two kids, you know how much money that is? Just in ticket prices? Then concessions? You know that shit is marked up 300 times what it's worth. Yo, I can sit at the house for $20, me, the wife, the three kids, pop some popcorn, eat some food, and enjoy this family experience together in the comfort of our own home. It's business, y'all. It has nothing to do with anything personal against the theaters or anything like that. Plus, as a studio, they're bringing home the lion's share of the money. They're bringing home over 80% of the money, because they're releasing it on a streaming platform. And a lot of these companies, studios out here, are coming up with their own platforms. It's coming. We can't stop. You're not going to stop that. HBO Max, Warner Brothers, that's their thing. Plus, they also have the DC app, which shows all of the DC original content and all that stuff. It's too late, guys. Paramount has their own app. Everybody's getting their own app, y'all. It's happening. Disney Plus. Disney is already doing it. They're like, yo, we can release our stuff right after it gets out of the theater run. We don't have to deal with, you know, waiting on DVD or Blu-ray and all. We put that shit right on our channel for you to watch now. What's that movie coming out? Artemis Fowl. Artemis Fowl was supposed to be in theaters, I believe, this spring. Nah, we're putting it on Disney Plus. It's an exclusive on Disney Plus. We already getting your ass for the monthly subscription charge. Why not? It's the wave. I'm not even going to say it's the wave of the future. It's just inevitable. Studios have been wanting day and date for the longest time. And for you folks that aren't familiar with that term, day and date means that the studios have always wanted the option to be able to put out their content in theaters and at the same time giving the consumer the option to get it on streaming on the same day. You see it a lot with on VOD, with some of your more lower budget to mid budget films. You see it all the time with those films. You'll see a film that comes out, and like I said, it won't be a blockbuster. It'll be some shit with Dolph Lundgren or Steven Seagal or whoever. And you'll see it blend on in theaters and on VOD on this day. That's day and date. That's what day and date is. And when you say in theaters, those films will probably be in like shit, probably 5 or 6 theaters or whatever, if that. But the studios have always wanted that option to have that direct-to-consumer relationship to be able to say, not only am I offering this to you in theaters, but also being able to offer this to you first run on a streaming platform for an elevated price. And that's the reason why we had movies like The Hunt and Bloodshot and Trolls and Invisible Man and some of your other films that made it on VOD quickly because their theater run was cut short by COVID-19. So studios have always wanted that option and they should have it. People argue that they don't feel that that's right. They feel that this will be the death of movie theaters. No, I don't think so. I don't think this will be the death of movie theaters. I just think this is going to cause movie theaters to step their game up. I think this is going to cause movie theaters to look at other types of films. And I think this is going to be great for us, the content creators, the indie movie people, the indie movie guys. Because quiet is kept, man. There are hundreds, thousands of films made a year, every year. Okay? All of them will not see a theater run. Okay? All of the films that my friends, my fellow filmmakers who put out indie films, dramas, comedies, sci-fi, action, you know, horror, they're putting out films all the time. And you won't see those films in theaters. Because theaters have become a landing spot for tentpole films, your comic book films, your sci-fi films, your quote-unquote Oscar bait, your indie darlings. Those are going to be your indie darlings, your festival darlings. Those are going to be your launch pad or your platform for those types of films. Your smaller indie films are not going to get theater runs. Their home will be very short theater runs. In VOD, those where those films are gonna belong. Those where those films are gonna happen. Those are gonna be the places you see those films. So, I think this is gonna put theaters in a spot where they're going to have to start embracing some of these indie films, and as it should be. It should be balanced. It should be a balance. I don't like it that you go to a multiplex. There's 20 screens in this multiplex and 10 to 12 of them are your two big tentpole films and the IMAX. And the rest of the movies are family films, you know, animated films, whatever. They're tentpole films. They're the low hanging fruit. They're the films that are going to make the theaters the most money. And I understand why the theaters do that shit. It's business. It's business. We're going to put these films in our theaters first because that's what's going to get most asses in seats and it's going to get us the most money. So they shouldn't thereby be surprised that when they are closed or when they are limited in their seating and things like that, that the theaters are like, well, shit, we need return on our investment. We need ROI. So we're going to put out these films in streaming and see if we can turn some of that money back around. We're not cutting out you guys, the theaters, but we also want to give our audiences options. And the theaters have a problem with that. And so back to Trolls. When Universal put Trolls out, the theaters, I think Carmike and AMC and others was like, oh, well, we're offended. And you'll no longer be able to show your films in our theaters, which is the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. This is Universal. Universal puts out some big films. Let's just start with the Fast and Furious franchise, who over the last couple years who made billions of dollars on those films. So you're going to cut off your nose to spite your face because they released Trolls. That is stupid. They're getting ready to put out the next Fast and Furious movie, and so you're telling Universal, you can't show your movie here in our theaters. In lieu of what? That's going to be probably one of the biggest films this summer, is the Fast and the Furious film. Dumb. I feel that Universal and some of these other cinemas are going to backtrack that decision very quickly, because it's a symbiotic relationship, theaters and studios. They need each other. Without films, you don't have a theater. But the studios are quickly showing you that we can establish a direct-to-consumer relationship without you. And it has you scared, and I get it. But don't cut off your nose to spite your face. That's stupid. So I'm gonna sit here and soak in the I told you so. That's right. I told y'all back when they were talking about it, I told you the Snyder Cut was going to happen. Don't say I didn't, because you know I did. From the beginning, when Zack Snyder said, I have a cut of my movie y'all haven't seen, I told y'all back then that shit is going to happen. Y'all argued with me for years. Y'all told me it wasn't never going to happen. Y'all said, y'all, it's crazy. You're crazy. The studio is not going to, after they got rid of him, after they recut the movie, they let Whedon redo the movie, all that shit, they're not going to release the Snyder Cut. It makes no sense. It doesn't make sense for them to do that. And I told you, you're wrong. I said, it makes perfect sense. Zack Snyder said, I think, and you can quote me, you can correct me if I'm wrong. He says, I have an additional 124 minutes of footage that y'all haven't seen. 124 minutes that never made the stream. They gave more backstory to what was going on. Gave us more of Barry Allen's life, to include Iris West. Gave us more info on Darkseid. I believe he said that he even slipped in that the colonel dude or the general dude was Martian Manhunter. Slipped in stuff that we did not get to see that would have enhanced and gave us more meat to the story. We didn't get to see it. Why not? Zack Snyder had a vision for the Justice League. And if you saw the latest film, Justice League, the animated film, Justice League Apocalypse War, it kind of gave us pretty much what would have happened. No, minus the dark shit, the Justice League dark shit, minus that stuff. But would have gave us kind of a backdrop of what we were to expect. Darkseid was planning to invade the Earth. He was planning to come and conquer the Earth like he had done worlds and other galaxies before. Okay, the Justice League stopped him. You know, something happens between that. I think that Snyder was saying there was going to be something where they had to fight Superman or something like that. Superman became possessed, or I don't know, some crazy shit. Some crazy thing like that. And then they were going to take the fight to Darkseid's world, Apocalypse. They were going to take the fight. They were going to get a team together, which I think was going to include, you know, the Lantern Corps and Martian Manhunter and all of our core Justice League members and then some, and take the fight to him. That would have been an awesome three film arc, you know, to include the solo films that they were planning on doing anyway. And they did, you know, they did have successful runs with their solo films. You know, Aquaman was great. Wonder Woman was great. Shazam was great. I think they're working on the Black Adam movie whenever, you know, they get the opportunity to do that with the Rock, which I think is a waste of fucking time, but whatever. Okay, we'll see. The other thing, and one of the big things for me, is that is Ray Fisher, who plays Cyborg in the film. And Snyder saying that the film's anchor, the film's center, was Cyborg, this black character who never had a big, you know, theatrical film in any of that. And they were planning a lot for Ray Fisher. Snyder was planning a lot for this character. He was planning a lot for this actor. And it pissed me off that they relegated his character to some sideshow Bob-ass character and didn't really give him the meat of the story or the story arc that Snyder had sat down to give him as a leader of the Justice League. And somebody that rose to the occasion and rose to be a hero and a leader as he had written him. And he was supposed to do a solo film. He was supposed to have a bigger thing going on with him and that actor's career and everything else. It would have been great for that character. And I'm mad that that didn't happen. Cyborg is a very interesting character. He has a very interesting story arc that I think would have been explored better if Snyder had his way. And I hope that we get to see more of that in the Snyder Cut. I hope we get to explore more of that in the Snyder Cut. Again, I was upset about that. You know, I read, you know, a lot about what they were planning on doing with the character, the type of things they were planning on doing with him. And it didn't happen. Didn't happen. So, again, I know a lot of y'all out there, the film sucked. Nothing he's going to do is going to make it better. It's not going to matter. It does matter. It matters to a lot of people. Obviously, it mattered or the shit wouldn't be happening. So, let's start there. Enough people talked about it. Enough people, you know, including Snyder, who kept releasing stills. He kept releasing footage. He kept releasing things that weren't in the final cut. He said, I do have a cut. Now, was the film finished? And my friend Glove and I, we argue about this for years. We've been arguing about this for years. Was the film finished? Well, the principal photography on the film was finished. Okay. So he had a cut of the film. He had a cut of his film that he wanted. Of course, after you finish, you know, if you're a filmmaker, anybody else, you finish your principal photography, you finish your cut of the film. Of course, you're going to go back. You're going to have some reshoots. You're going to have to get effects together and all that stuff. Was it theater ready done? No, was not. Of course not. After you've gotten your money shot and you say cut for the final time, you're not done. Of course not. Of course, there was going to be reshoots. Of course, there were going to be some additional things that he wanted to add in there. Of course, you have to get the effects done. You have to get some work done before it makes it to the theater. There's a process, of course. So if you're saying the film wasn't done in that regard, fucking no film is done in that regard after the last day of shooting. That's an impossibility. That doesn't happen. So that goes without saying. No, it wasn't theater ready. But again, 120 plus minutes on the cutting room floor, y'all. Warner Brothers did not trust his vision. And they gave us a watered down, I'm trying to be like Marvel version. And it didn't fully work. It didn't land well. I'm also a little pissed that they waited till my man was down to do that. I'm a little mad about that. I'm as a filmmaker, I would have been beyond incensed that after my kid took their own life, and in my grief, I have to stop doing what I love doing to just properly grieve with my family. And while I'm gone, y'all just totally changed my movie from what I had envisioned it to be, because you didn't trust my vision enough over what the other guys were doing to see it through. That bothered me, because you guys had a chance to do something different. You don't have to be like the other guys. Matter of fact, you can't be like the other guys. That's the thing. I think that's the mistake that Warner Brothers and the DCEU were making. They thought that they could fast track what Marvel had done. Marvel put in the time, y'all. Marvel put in almost a decade or more of work building their world. Well, first, once Disney got them back, they had to get back all their shit. They had to get back all of their properties that they had sold off during their bankruptcy. And then they built the universe around that. They had a cohesive universe that they built under Kevin Feige. And you can say what you want about Feige, but man, he ran that ship. He ran that ship with an iron thumb, with an iron fist. And he got work done. After they got, you know, Ike Perlmutter's cheap ass out of there, they were able to do what they needed to do. Warner Brothers, on the other hand, they kept going through leadership changes. This person will leave, that person will leave, this person will come in with their ideas, this person will come in with their ideas. And Snyder was stuck in the middle of that. He's like, man, I got a vision for this thing. This, just hear me out. I got a vision for these things that I have here. It's going to look a little different. It's going to sound a little different. It's going to be a little different than what you guys are used to doing. But I got a vision for this. Take a chance, man. That's how film empires happen. That's how things happen. You take a chance. Marvel did that. Marvel had already done that. They took a chance. You know what I'm saying? The characters that you see in the Marvel, in the MCU, were not your A-level heroes. Let's start with that. These are not your Iron Man? No. Guardians of the Galaxy? Who the fuck was... Nobody was reading Guardians of the Galaxy. Nobody cared about Guardians of the Galaxy. Ant-Man. Nobody cared about Ant-Man. Ms. Marvel. All these other characters. These were not your A-tier Spider-Man, you know, Fantastic Four, Hulk. Those are your A-tier X-Men. Those are your A-tier comic book Marvel heroes. These were not it. Yo, they took the Bush League heroes, the B and D League heroes, and made wonders with them. I commend that. DCEU was trying to do the same thing. You had your top tiers, your Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. Those are your top tiers. But then they were bringing on Suicide Squad. They were going to try to do Justice League Dark with Constantine, Swamp Thing, and some of your other lower tier or D League heroes. And that would have worked. But you have to take the chance. And it seems like in looking at Snyder's vision, they were scared to take a chance. And once Snyder started, the internet is a beast, ain't it? Once Snyder started talking about, this is what I wanted to do, this is what I was doing, and this is my vision for what I wanted the DCEU to be, people started saying, wait a minute. Why can't we see that cut? I want to see that. I'm interested in that. Why not? Because right now the DCU is pretty fragmented. They don't think they even know where they're going to go with that. With the rest of these films. I don't even think they even know where they're going to go with the rest of these movies. I want to see this. I want to see what he does. And my hope is that the fanfare around the Snyder Cut may reinvigorate them exploring his vision more. And of course, you know, you naysayers are out there, and you guys have been naysaying ever since I said that this is going to happen. I said it was going to happen because it makes good business sense. I said it was going to happen because why leave all that footage and that money on the table? That didn't make sense. That didn't make sense. You have almost 2 hours worth of footage that nobody has seen. Okay, then effects haven't been done, things like that. And Warner Brothers is sinking additional 20 or more million into making sure those effect shots get done, into making sure that this film is complete, quote unquote, to be seen. And there's been a lot of speculation out there. And there was a lot of speculation up until we announced that the Snyder Cut was going to happen. But it's all it was. And I've said that over years. It's speculation. Oh, it's not gonna happen. The Snyder Cut's not, and you guys were posting links and all this shit. And my every rebuttal was always going to be, who is saying this shit? Who's saying it? Who from Warner Brothers is saying that it wasn't going to happen? I'll wait. Cause there wasn't. Nobody from Warner Brothers confirmed or denied that there was going to be a release of the Snyder Cut. It was always, insider friend of ours, or some dude that we know that works over there, or rumor has it. That's all it has ever been over the past couple years. And I kept repointing that out to you guys. I said, who from Warner Brothers brass has said definitively that we are not releasing the Snyder Cut? I'll wait. Nobody said it. Nobody from Warner Brothers said that it wasn't going to happen. Because if it wasn't, somebody would have. So you know what I think they were doing? And I'm speculating. I'm spitballing. I think they were watching the fanfare. They were watching the petitions. They were watching all the people talking about it, people making videos about it. Snyder out there campaigning for his own cut of the movie. And you think they weren't talking to Snyder in the meantime, behind closed doors? Yeah, they were. Of course they were. I think they had a couple of meetings with Snyder before they decided to do this, to see how they were going to do it and when would be the opportune time to do it. I didn't think it was going to wind up in theaters. I thought it would probably wind up on a DC Universe app or platform, personally. That's before we knew HBO Max was coming, which we knew that was coming a couple years ago. So when we learned that HBO Max was coming, I said, there you go, right there. I said, HBO Max is going to use that as something to springboard viewership onto their platform. It's going to be just another thing they're going to use to get more viewers on their platform. An exclusive. which all streaming platforms want. They want that exclusive. And that's going to be an exclusive on their channel. And it's perfect. People want to see it. Now the speculation is that they're not going to be shooting any additional scenes. Again, who said that? Who said that? Who from the Warner Brothers brass has come out and said definitively that Henry Cavill, Ben Affleck, Gal Gadot, Ray Fisher, none of them are going to be doing any additional scenes? Who said that? Y'all said it, not them. You're speculating again. None of the actors have come out and said, we ain't doing it. Matter of fact, all the actors in the film, outside except for Henry Cavill, have said release the Snyder Cut. Gal Gadot said it. Ben Affleck said it. Jason Momoa has seen it and has gone on to say it several times in interviews and on social media, along with Ezra Miller, who plays the Flash, and other people who are in the film. Release the Snyder Cut. These are the actors talking. They've said it. But none of them ever said that we wouldn't put on our costumes again to shoot additional scenes. None of them have said that. Warner Brothers never said that that's not going to happen. So I won't be shocked if he gets to shoot his additional scenes, that he gets to shoot, a couple little, if I don't think it's a lot, probably just a couple of additional scenes just to add some more pizzazz or some more flavor onto the story that he was trying to tell. I wouldn't be shocked that that happens or hasn't already happened, because y'all don't know. Because, hey, remember, up to this point, there was going to be no Snyder Cut. And this ain't some shit they just pulled out of thin air. They've been talking to Zach over the years. They had to have been, to come to this conclusion, to come to this turn where they said, you know what, we're going to put it out. So you can deflect and say whatever you want to, but like I said, Warner Brothers did a solid, man. They moved in silence. So did Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder was trolling us for the past couple years about this Snyder Cut coming out. And I personally think the shit was a big ass tease. I think that he had been talking to Warner Brothers about it. I think they were misdirecting us and throwing us some curveballs and all this shit. And I think that they had always been planning on putting this thing out for the past couple years. I could be wrong. I could be totally wrong. And I'm sure Snyder will tell the story once the film is out. But I think they've been talking. I think they've been talking for a while. And we're finally going to get it. And it's fan service. That's all it is. And if you're not a fan, fuck, don't watch it. Don't watch. But allow the rest of us who enjoyed the film, for the most part, to see what he had to say. I think that's great. I think it's unprecedented that a studio would say, you know what? Not only are we going to allow your director's cut or your cut of the film to come out, I'll throw you a bone, give you $20 million more to finish whatever it is you were trying to do. That's unprecedented. And Warner Brothers has nothing to lose. Nothing. $20 million ain't nothing to them. That man, one of the execs, and pull that shit out of their ashtray in their car. One of the execs at Warner Brothers probably spends $20 million on blow and hookers. $20 million ain't shit for them. It's nothing. They have nothing to lose by giving up them $20 million or even more to see this film complete to that man's vision. I'm excited. I can't wait to see it. And I told your ass so. That's going to be our show for today. You guys, be careful out there with COVID-19. Make sure you're social distancing. Make sure you are wearing your masks as possible as you need to be wearing them. Don't be an asshole. If you don't want to wear your mask, stay your ass at home. Don't go out there and endanger the lives of other people. Some people are walking around who are very asymptomatic, meaning that you're showing no type of symptoms, but you may be carrying it. So wear your mask. Don't be a dick. If you don't want to wear the mask, again, don't go anywhere. Stay away from people. Don't put the lives of my kids, my mom, my cousins, my sisters, my brothers, my friends in danger. And we will try not to do the same for you. All right. We'll see you guys next time. Have a great one. Thanks for tuning in to the Big Blurred Cast. I'm your host, Hank Bird. Have a good one.